She came from Providence, one in Rhode Island, where the old world shadows hang heavy in the air.
Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of today's Survival Show, helping you harness the power of choice to live life the way you want to live it on your own terms and strengthening your resolve. This is a practical show. I don't get into a lot of tin foil hat type thinking. No extremes, I just keep survival simple and rooted in common sense. This is episode number 122. Today is Sunday the 12th of December. You'll hear this a couple of days out into the future. Probably on Tuesday is when I'm going to get this posted. So let me take this opportunity before I get started with everything to wish all of you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This might be the last show I do for the rest of the year. I might get one put out next week. I'm not 100% sure. So just in case, let me just say Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And if this happens to be the last one that I do for the rest of this year, I'll catch you right after the first of the year for the first show of 2011. But stay tuned. Keep watching your feeds and so forth because there's a good chance I might get one out next week. Anyway, this show is called The Art of Nothing, and this was a email sent to me by a listener, and I'm going to go ahead and post a link to the article in the show notes, but it's by Thomas Elpel. I think I've got that right. And anyway, it's very good. You got to read it, but this is going to be based on that, and I think you're going to like it. It's about primitive living. It's about primitive culture and so forth, and it's about how people have made things out of nothing. And isn't that really what survival and preparedness is about? You might find yourself in a situation that where you don't have anything. Hopefully not. Hopefully you've prepared. Whatever disaster comes about, whether it's a weather disaster, a financial disaster, a family disaster, a terrorist attack, whatever. Whatever happens, you know, we hope that these bad things don't happen, but and we also hope that we don't find ourselves ill-prepared, because that's what we try to do, right? However, we can't be perfect. We can't be right all the time. We can't be prepared for everything. It's kind of like terrorism, you know? You've heard the government say many times, you know, we have to be right 100% of the time in protecting ourselves against terrorism. A terrorist only has to be right once, and they succeed. We have to be correct 100% of the time in stopping them. They only have to be correct once. So my point with that is every once in a while, things are going to go wrong, and you're going to find yourself left with nothing. And so I think this article is pretty fitting. And even though we're coming into the Christmas time here, we're getting very close to Christmas. Christmas is roughly 2 weeks away. There are some of us out there that are struggling. And I'm going to spend some time in segment number two talking about how to give people things for Christmas when you're on a budget. So that's going to be segment number two. Things that you can give for Christmas when you don't have a big budget to work with. And I've related a lot to this article because I don't have a real big budget to work with this year. Okay, so that's segment number two. But in segment number one, the art of nothing. Let's go ahead and dive into this, and then I got a few announcements when this segment is over. But Westerners who first met the Shoshonean bands of Indians in the Great Basin Desert typically describe them as being wretched and lazy. Now, a lot of observers made mention of the fact that these people lived in total wasteland. But guess what? They still seemed to be able to improve their situation and live a decent life. Now, they didn't really do anything. They didn't build houses or villages. They didn't really have any tools or possessions. They didn't even hardly store any food. It seems like pretty much all they did was sit around and do nothing, but they survived. Now, you might think, Bob, this is weird. What are you talking about, sitting around doing nothing? You know, this goes against your message, Bob. It goes against what you've been talking about for so many shows. Hang with me on this. This is a pretty good story. The Shoshone were true hunter-gatherers, and they spent their lives walking from one food source to another. Now, think about that. You could end up being in that situation. Let's hope not, but you could end up being in a situation where you're going from one food source to another. The reason they did not build houses was because houses were useless to them in their nomadic lifestyle. Everything they owned, they carried on their backs from place to place. And they didn't make a lot of stuff either. They didn't manufacture a lot of tools or anything like that. And the reason they didn't make a whole lot of stuff like that is because they felt it would be too heavy, too much of a burden to carry. They were nomads. They were going from one place to another. So far, seems to me like this is a pretty big description here of true survivalists, don't you? Now, typically when we think about primitive cultures like this, like the Shoshone, we think that they must have just worked their butt off all the time just to stay alive. But that's not really the truth. In actuality, they were very leisure-like people. Anthropological studies out there in different parts of the world have shown that nomadic hunter-gatherer type societies typically work only a couple of hours a day, maybe 3 hours a day, to gain the food that they need to sustain themselves. You know, sort of like deer and other creatures out there, the types of people who are hunter-gatherers, they really have nothing more to do than to just wander around and eat. Now, the Shoshone had a lot of time on their hands because they produced almost no material culture. Therefore, they had a lot of time. They weren't being lazy. They were just being economical and being smart. And you've all heard the old terminology, don't work harder, work smarter, right? I think you could say the Shoshone were kind of that way. They didn't work harder. They worked smarter. Sitting around and doing nothing for hours on end helped them to conserve calories and conserve energy. Now think about that. Now, am I saying that if a disaster hits that you should just sit around and do nothing? No, I think you should spring into action, but you do have to pace yourself. I really believe strongly in pacing yourself, because if you don't do that, you will burn a lot of energy. You will burn a lot of calories that you might need later on. See, too many of us in modern day culture, too many of us what we call modern Westerners, we get so fascinated with these simple cultures like the Shoshone. And not too many of us really kind of dive into it and understand what they were all about. We don't really dive into it and understand and reproduce and recreate their primitive lifestyle. I'm not saying you have to go out and live a primitive lifestyle, but understand some of the things that the Shoshone Indians did, because they were the epitome of doing what you can with what you have wherever you are. And so to the listener who sent me this email, thank you. Right now I can't look it up on my computer because I'm using a computer that's kind of restricted right now, and I can't look up who the listener was that sent me this email. But thank you very much. You can Google this too and find it, or you can just go to todayssurvival.com and click the Art of Nothing tab in the show notes. But us people that live in modern day times, in our typical Western lifestyle, we get right into it. And we start producing. And we start working ambitiously to learn things. And we produce all kinds of tools and containers and stuff. We just start making stuff. But real hunter-gatherer people, all they did was carry everything they had on their backs. Conversely, those of us who are modern type folks, we need to have a pickup truck just to move from one camp to another because we've got so much stuff, maybe a trailer even in addition to that. So in our effort to try to recreate primitive lifestyles sometimes, we find that we ironically miss the mark completely. We have made our lives a little too complicated. I think to truly grasp what the primitive cultures are all about, we have to start understanding the art of doing nothing. To understand the art of doing nothing, and folks, this was tough for me, you know, because I'm a doer. I like to do. I like to always stay busy. So when I read this article, I had to read it two or three times and think, what are they talking about here? I finally got it. You might have to go back and play this podcast a couple of times or go to the article and read it. But to understand the art of nothing is challenging for people like us, isn't it? You know, think about it. When we go on some kind of a primitive camping trip, we start taking all of our modern philosophies with us, all of our modern preconceptions with us. We find a level spot in the meadow to build our shelters, and if it's not level, we make it level. Now, for those of you who live in the colder climates where snowmobiling and winter sports are prevalent, I grew up in that kind of an environment. We even do things like that. You know, we try to find the most level piece of ground that we can find, you know, to do our cross-country skiing or to do our snowmobiling or whatever. Okay? When we gather materials, we start from scratch. And we start building walls, and we start building roofs and shelters and so forth. We do what we're used to doing. We build a frame on the house, you know, and then we gather materials and we start putting it together. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there's not a cloud in the sky, and if it hasn't rained in a month, or if it hasn't snowed in several weeks. We're putting up that shelter anyway, and we're working our tails off, aren't we? Because what have we learned? We've learned shelter, shelter, shelter. Got to make shelter. One of the things that you have to learn in the art of survival, especially if you're in wilderness survival, is you have to make shelter. And part of the reason that we react this way is because of our cultural upbringing. That's what we're taught. Another part of it is, quite frankly, because it's easier for those of us who are instructors to teach something rather than to teach nothing. You know, how can you be an instructor if you have nothing to teach? But perhaps learning the art of nothing could be an important skill to learn. It's a lot easier to teach how to make something than to teach how not to need to make anything. Let me say that again. It's easier for someone to teach how to make something than it is to teach them how not to need to make anything. You see, there's two different approaches. There's a do-something approach and there's a do-nothing approach. The do-something approach is to make everything you need. The do-nothing approach is to find everything. And isn't that kind of what our daily lives are like? Sometimes we just have to be good finders. We have to be good hunters and gatherers. You know, find the solutions. And see, this is not just about primitive living or wilderness survival. Apply this to life. Sometimes there's a solution staring you in the face. Have you found it? We get so busy because we start getting all consumed in making it happen. And this is me sometimes. You know, I'm talking about my own personal struggles here sometimes. I'm such a make-it-happen kind of person that I get too busy and I expend too much of my energy, physically and mentally, in trying to make something happen that maybe the solution's right there in front of me. Maybe I can't see the solution, but it's right there. And if I become a better finder, I won't have to work so hard. I can find the solution for what I need. Okay, here's some examples of what I'm talking about. The do-nothing method of shelter is to just find it somewhere rather than building it. And in the do-nothing concept basically says this: 2 hours spent searching for a partial shelter that can be improved upon can easily save you 2 hours of hard-working construction time. Okay, the do-nothing method of making shelter is to look first at the incoming weather and then to build only what's needed. If it's not going to rain, then you might be able to do nothing to rainproof your shelter. You know, then maybe you'll only need to put your efforts into a shelter that'll keep you warm instead of both warm and dry. And so think about it. Guard against overkill. See, the point here of the do-nothing approach is not really to do nothing, I would say. I would just say, you know, do only what you need to do at that moment. Okay? I mean, there's a lot of things, large and small, that people can do or not do to get better at the art of doing nothing. I mean, think about it. Sometimes it's very simple. Sometimes it's just cupping your hand to drink from a stream instead of carrying a cup or having to make a cup. Okay? Henry David Thoreau wrote about having a rock for a paperweight at his cabin. Then he threw it out when he discovered that he had to dust it. That is pretty much the essence of a do-nothing attitude. The do-nothing approach to primitive skills is something that you do. Do nothing is a way of saving time and energy so you can finish your work a lot more effectively. Now, the author writes something really profound here. He says, one of the things that I've found through the years of experimental research into primitive skills is that there's rarely enough hours in a day to complete all of the day's work. It's difficult to go out and build a shelter, make a working bow drill set, set traps, dig roots, make bowls and spoons, and cook dinner. Hunter-gatherer societies succeeded in working only 2 to 3 hours per day, but they got the most out of it. They got the most out of what they could get out of in that 2 to 3 hours a day. And see, I think that's the essence of survival, is being as productive as you possibly can, especially if there's a disaster situation. Productivity is going to be more important. I think the quality of your work is going to be more important than the quantity of your work. Do nothing is an approach to research also. It's a way of thinking and doing. Here's an example that the author gives. I do a lot of timed studies of various primitive skills. How long does it take to construct a particular shelter, for example? How much of a particular food resource can I harvest in 1 hour? Or can I increase the harvest using different gathering techniques? And he says, one thing I've noted is that it's only marginally economical to manufacture common primitive deadfall traps. It is time-sensitive, it adds weight to carry, and the traps often have short lifespans. The do-nothing alternative is to use whatever I have at hand to pick up sticks and assemble them into a trap, even without using a knife. You know, this brings back the memories of the show earlier this year, Dual Survival, with Dave Canterbury and Cody Lundeen. Those guys, I mean, they didn't carry a lot of stuff with them. Did you see that show? If you didn't, see if you can go on YouTube and watch some reruns of that. Both of these guys were very, very good at improvising. Okay? So the primitive hunter-gatherer type people are just real good. Real good at doing nothing or doing little. Exactly how well they did is kind of difficult for people who study this to determine. Primarily because doing nothing doesn't leave a whole lot for archaeologists to find later. And every time that they find an artifact, they have documentation of something that was done. And one of the challenges is when the primitive cultures did nothing, it was hard for archaeologists to find something because there was nothing there for them to find and study and analyze. But the bottom line here, the thing that you're going to discover for yourself when you read this article and then maybe when you play this back a couple of times, what you're going to find out for yourself is as you learn the art of doing nothing, you're going to find that it's probably much more useful for you at home in your home life and maybe in your business life than it is out in the wilderness. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Bob, boy, if I go to work with a do-nothing attitude, I'm going to get fired. That's not what I'm talking about. Although, wouldn't your boss be happy with you if you learn how to be more productive with a smaller amount of time? Think about it. But you won't be so dependent on a lot of tools and a lot of gadgets. You're not going to be so tied up in all that stuff. No longer will you need to shape the elements of nature to fit your definition. You'll just adapt to it. You're going to find that you need less and less until one of these days you're going to find out there's not much that you need at all. And I've talked about this before in other podcasts. I've talked about being content. I've talked about being okay with what you have and doing what you can with what you have. You know, not lusting after so much stuff. And it's hard for me, folks, because I always think that I need that one extra toy. I need that extra gadget. I need that extra thing to make me more productive. And that's not what it's going to be. That's not what's going to help me out. And when you find that you need less and less, then you'll have a lot more time on your hands so that you can enjoy what's going on. And you can have more time on your hands so that you can just choose to do nothing if you want. Or go do something. And if you do go do something, you're probably going to have more energy to get it done and get it done right and get it done quickly. So that's pretty much it for this segment. That's The Art of Doing Nothing by Thomas, I think it's Elpel. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Anyway, check that out. Read the link that I post. It's pretty good. And, you know, I think it just kind of speaks. And you know, during this Christmas season right now, there's some of us that don't have a lot. We don't have a lot at all. And we're going to be forced to make it through the holidays with only what we have. Because some of us don't have the resources to go out and get a whole lot more. And some of us don't even have the energy or the health to even go out and make what we want to make. In the next segment, I'm going to talk about some things that you can do to maybe make your holidays a little bit easier to get through if you're on a budget. And, you know, for whatever reason that you're on a budget, whether you're like me and you're just trying to conserve always because you have a new attitude, or whether you just simply don't have the resources, stay tuned. So I'm going to play a quick break here, about 15, 20 seconds worth of music, and then I'll be back on with segment number two. Don't go away. Talk to you in a bit.
A woman is approximately 10 times more likely to be successfully raped when she doesn't have a gun, according to a Department of Justice study. This explains why women in the United States use firearms about 200,000 times a year to stop sexual assaults. It also explains why more than 40% of women own or already have access to a firearm. So why do some politicians want to disarm women? Maybe rape isn't a serious enough crime in their minds. Or maybe they don't want to stare down the wrong end of your barrel.
Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Okay, segment number two. I figured this would be a good follow-up to the art of doing nothing. Real quick, let me cover a couple of announcements here, and then I'm going to get into what you can give for Christmas when you're kind of on a short budget. Announcements. The website, todayssurvival.com. Check me out there and check me out on Facebook. You can search Bob Mayne, M-A-Y-N-E, on Facebook. I'm on there. I haven't been on there as much as I should have been lately, but I'm on there and I'll connect with you. If you want to send me an email directly, make a comment, bob@todayssurvival.com. Send me an email there. Don't forget about my upcoming CD. There's still some time to order it. It's going to release on the 15th, but I'm going to keep putting it out. I'm going to have to cut sales off on the 31st of December. So if you want to buy it after the 15th, that's fine. It's only $15. It combines survival and shooting information and so forth and self-defense information. I do cover some items on there, and I cover some topics that I have not covered on this show, so you'll get a good benefit out of it, and it's a way for you to support the show. If you think I help you, if you think you get some benefit out of this, maybe a $15 purchase of my CD or digital download, maybe that'd be the ways you can help support this show. And that's pretty much all I'm going to say about that. I don't like to make this show very commercial. Don't forget to join our forum as well. The forum, just go to todayssurvival.com and click the forum tab. It'll tell you exactly how to sign up. And by the way, you will see the buy now button on there if you want to go ahead and get a copy of your CD. If you don't want a CD, I'll send you an email. I'll use you send it, and you can get a download of it and just download it as an MP3 file to save to your computer or your iPod. And last but not least, I am looking for people to come on the show to interview with me. So if you have an interest, if you have an area you want to talk about, that's fine. If you want to come on the show and challenge me on something or disagree with me on something or add to something that I said before, that's fine. I'm a very open-minded guy. I don't mind that. I think that's good. I think it makes for good discussion, and people can learn a lot from that. Okay, that's it for the announcements. I like to keep that very short and sweet. Let's talk about what some of the financially challenged people can give for Christmas gifts. If you have nothing to give, one of the things that you can do is give of yourself. Do things like make a coupon book. Good for chores and things. Make a coupon book, helping people do chores and helping people do things, honeydews around the house, things that they need to get done that they need help with. And the coupon is you. The coupon is good. It can be redeemed for you and your services. Maybe make a coupon book for a child or a teenager that can include things like a free ride to the mall or a free day off of room cleaning. What teenager wouldn't like that, huh? Or maybe a sibling, for instance, can make a coupon book where they clean their brother or their sister's rooms or do the chores for them for a day or two or a week or whatever. Maybe make a coupon book for mom. that can include certificates that she can present to the kids to have the dishes washed by you or a meal cooked by you. Maybe you can make Dad a coupon book that can include an offer for you to clean out the attic or the garage. How about that? Or a coupon book for your spouse that can feature coupons for back massages or bubble baths or something, or breakfast in bed, stuff like that. And you can get kind of creative with this. It doesn't take a long time. And if you're into the art of doing nothing, some of this stuff can be done pretty quickly. Some of these booklets, you can just make them with cardstock or construction paper or even just heavy-duty printer paper. The coupons can be anything you can think of. And you're only going to be limited by your imagination. And that's one of the great things, is that this doesn't hardly cost anything and there's no limits to it. Another thing you can do if you're financially challenged during Christmas time, and a lot of us are, is re-gift. That's becoming more and more popular these days. If you ever received gifts in the past and you simply have no use for them, think about giving them to someone else who can use it. Here's an example. Back in September, I was in a golf tournament. A customer of mine put on a golf tournament, and I won a couple of nice prizes. I want a couple of electronic gadgets, and I'm not going to use these electronic gadgets. The reason is I've already got some. One of them is a universal remote control, and the other one is our wireless headphones. Now, the wireless headphones I don't already have, but I don't think I'm really going to have much of a use for them. The universal remote, I've got two of those. I'm not going to need those either. They're brand new in the box. When I won them, they were brand new in the box. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to re-gift those. I got a couple of family members that I think can use them, and that's where they're going to go for Christmas. Okay? So the object here is not just to get rid of something that you don't use or don't want. And it's not, you're not really doing this just to say, hey, I gave them something. I didn't forget you on Christmas time. The object here is to find someone who can actually use what you have. And I've got two family members that I know that can use these two gadgets. And just re-gift it to them. And that saves you money. Now, make sure you don't give the gift to the person who originally bought it for you. Be careful. Remember where you got that gift. How embarrassing would that be, huh? Re-gifting to the person who actually got it for you. Be careful there. Now, recently on the forum, WhatsApp has been posting information on there about a little stove he's been making. And I think he's making those stoves for some kids of his and his family. That's pretty creative. Go on to our forum. If you're not a member of our forum, check that out. Because he's made a cool little stove, and I think you'll... that's kind of what made me think about this. How to come up with gifts with very little money and very little time and effort. If you've ever done crafts... I know some of you who are listeners to this show or on our forum, you like doing crafts. Gather up some of the supplies and make a craft kit for a young kid. Kids love to craft, and they'll appreciate the craft supplies kit. Okay, so there's an idea. Here's another one. Do you have any board games that you've never played? Now, I know it's a good idea to store board games, especially if there's a disaster. Board games, obviously they don't require any power to use, and they can keep you all very, very well entertained. If there's some kind of a disaster, it passes the time easily. But maybe there's some that you just don't need. Maybe you've got more than you need. And maybe there's some that look pretty new. They're in pretty good shape. And you can part with them. Those can make good gifts. Especially for kids. Kids love games. And a lot of kids might not even notice that it's not brand new either. So one of my major points here is just because that you're financially strapped doesn't mean that you have to be empty-handed or not give anybody anything. So I'd like to challenge you this Christmas to look around your house and use your imagination to create nice gifts for people that you love. As they always say, it's really not the gift that counts, but the thought that counts. And to me, I don't know about you, see, I've got everything I need. I really do. I have everything I need. I don't have everything I want, but want's not what's real important. What I need is what's important. I have everything. So for me, when people give me gifts, it is the thought that counts more than fulfilling a need. Because as I mentioned, there's really nothing that I have to have that I don't have right now. There's nothing I'm really desperate for. So to me, if somebody put a lot of thought into something, that'd be kind of cool. I mean, I think that would be actually mean more to me than somebody going out and just buying something from me that they think I need. Okay? So that's something for you to consider as well there. The holidays can be joyous, and they can also kind of be kind of worrisome for some people, especially if you're financially strapped. But just because you're financially embarrassed doesn't mean that you can't, you know, do things. And that's what I'm saying. You know, and I've been talking about making gifts yourself. Think about the internet. The internet's full of thousands of articles out there detailing how to make different gifts and so forth. You know, use the internet while it's up and running as a survival tool right now. See, I'm talking about practical stuff here. And yeah, hey, it's a disaster to be financially strapped. Let's face it, that is a disaster. That's something that people don't think about. When it comes to disasters, people think about these real big cataclysmic disasters and problems. You know, just being financially strapped is probably the most common disaster that hits people today. So think about giving away things you already have that you're not using. And if there's a friend or a family member that has commented on something you own, you know, think about all your interactions with friends and family members. Maybe you have something and they've made a comment like, "Hey, well, that's pretty cool, man. I'd love to have one of those." Well, if you're not using it, if it's not, you know, something that you just absolutely have to keep, maybe consider cleaning it up, making it look like new, wrapping it up, and sending it off to him or giving it to him as a gift. You'd be amazed, folks, what you won't miss in a lot of the decluttering that I've done this year, that me and my family have done. We don't miss a thing that we got rid of. I am serious. And you know what else it does is giving something that belonged to you at one time. That shows the other person that you're giving it to, shows them how much that you really care. It's kind of a statement, isn't it? It's kind of a way that you're saying, hey, I really care. Here's a possession of mine that I think enough of you. I want you to have it. And that goes a long way, especially during the holidays. You know, think about it. Not everybody would give away something that they really, really like. And the gift you give doesn't have to be something that's treasured by you. It just has to be something that you once had, a piece of your own property that you're now giving to somebody else. Think about that. You know, some people would think about this idea and they go, "Oh, Bob, that's insulting to take something I already have and give it to somebody." Okay? There's people who would think that. I don't think that. You know, if somebody did that to me, I would take the approach and I would think, "Hey, you know what? This is really, really cool. They think enough of me to give me a possession that they once had." Okay, so this is kind of a short show. You know, I've been pretty busy lately, but I wanted to get some ideas out there for you on the art of doing nothing and really the essence of doing what you can with what you have wherever you are. So thank you to the person that sent me that email and turned me on to this article. That was very great. That was a good thing for you to do there, and it was a good idea and provided a good topic matter. And so, folks, hang in there. And I'm just glad that you're listening, folks, and I'm glad that with the Christmas season coming up that you're still giving me some of your time, because we have a lot of busy time coming up ahead of us. All of us do. I probably will put a show out next week. It's probably going to be Wednesday or Thursday of next week. I'll have a little bit extra of a Christmas message for all of you. But in the meantime, folks, until the next time that we get a chance to chat, once again, join our forum, send in some comments, and my name is Bob Main, and you've just listened to another episode of today's Survival Show, episode 122, to be exact, where it's my goal to help you harness the power of choice and to do what you can with whatever you have, maybe even using the art of doing nothing to strengthen your resolve. Thanks for tuning in, folks. I'll catch you next time. Goodbye.